The following audio is from Park Church in Denver, Colorado. More information about Park Church is available online at parkchurchdenver.org.
Good morning, Park Church. I invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one in the pew back or close by. And if you don't have one at home, we would love for you to take that as a gift from Park Church. If you are using the pew Bible, it's page 981. Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, Park Church. Good morning. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen, not just he rose from the dead a long time ago and the significance of that has been lost. Christ is risen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is alive. Right? He is alive. And whether you believe this or not, or whether you struggle to be aware of this, the reality is he's given us his Holy Spirit. He told his disciples before he ascended to heaven after his resurrection, he said, I will be with you always. Jesus Christ, the risen King of the universe, is alive and he's here. He's here. And so the question I want to ask you this morning is, do you know him? Do you know him? Not just do you know about him, not just do you know facts about him, nor even merely do you believe in him. Like you believe that he existed, that he died on a cross, maybe even that he rose from the dead. My question for you is, do you know him? And to use Paul's own words here, and do you know the power of his resurrection? See, the resurrection isn't just a fact to believe, There is a power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that God wants us to know and to experience. And so we're going to take a moment here. We're going to pray that God would help us. He's here. Jesus is here. His Spirit is active. And so we're going to ask the Holy Spirit of God to work in our hearts, to engage our hearts, to take something that you might believe in your head and maybe you have questions about, but take that reality and seek it into the depth of your soul, that you would know Christ and that you would know the power of his resurrection. So let's go before the risen King of the universe together. Jesus, we acknowledge you're here. And I confess that reality is so hard for people like me to believe, as we don't see you, we don't hear you, and we gather in a room like this, and it's so easy for us to just blast through even Easter Sunday with our hearts unengaged to the reality, the remarkable reality that you are here. We're not worshiping you as someone that's distant and far off, nor are we worshiping something that merely happened in the past. We're worshiping you, and you're here. And so, Jesus, Son of the Living God, would you work by the power of your Holy Spirit to help us to know you? To find joy in you, to find life in you, and to know the power of your resurrection. I think there are people here today that have never known you before. Maybe they're new to Christianity, they're new to the church, someone invited them and they're here. I'm so thankful, God, that they're here. Would you open their eyes and help them to know you? Maybe there are some that have been around church and Christianity for a long, long time. But to them, it's a way of living. It's behaviors. It's intellectual. And they don't know you either. God, would you awaken them? Awaken their soul this morning. And for your children that do know you, that have known you, those like me that often find ourselves wandering away from the joy that's found in you and in you alone, would you bring us home? Would you make the driving passion of our life to know you and to know the power of your resurrection, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the passage we're looking at today is about a man who had lived most of his life pursuing what we could call the good life, or his own version of the good life, away from the presence of God. This story of this man named Paul, who had spent the majority of his life crafting the type of life that many of us would look at and say, that looks like a pretty good life. He had been pursuing joy in a number of different things. He came from a reputable family. His family had a good reputation. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was very smart. He was very intelligent. He was well educated. And he had spent a lot of energy and a lot of his life becoming more and more educated, particularly in theology. He was very religious. He was very active in his religious community. He was very moral. He knew theology. He knew about God's word. He knew all of these things. He was passionate. He was driven. He was disciplined. And by all sort of like worldly measurements, he was very successful. But really, it's the type of life that many of us would say, I'd love to have that kind of life, where I come from a good family, things are going well, I have intelligence, and I'm succeeding, and I'm achieving, and everybody around, all my peers, and all my colleagues, and all of my community really looks up to me and says, that's a pretty good life. It's the type of life we'd want our kids to have. Like, man, I would love them for them to have a life like that. But there's one significant deficiency in Paul's life. He didn't know Jesus. He had spent his whole life pursuing this sort of life through his own effort and his own strength and living life as best as he could, trying to find joy and life and meaning on his own, but he did not know Jesus, and he did not know deep and meaningful joy. And then something happened. One day he was on a road towards a city called Damascus, and while he was on that road, the risen King Jesus appeared to him. This is after Jesus had died on the cross, after he had risen from the dead, after he had appeared to a number of people, his early and closest followers, he appeared to them. At one point, Jesus appeared to over 500 people at one point, and people in this day and age could have went and talked to those people. They were around, people that had seen the risen Christ. But this is after all of that. Jesus had ascended into heaven, and still later, the risen Christ appeared to Paul. And when Paul met Jesus, everything changed. Everything changed. And Paul's driving passion in life was shifted, where the only thing he was driven to know is to know Jesus and to know the power of his resurrection. And so my prayer for you today and my prayer for you throughout this week has been simply this, that God, by his power, would open your eyes to the glory of the risen Jesus. Not as merely a fact to be believed, nor a historical event, but that the risen Jesus is here, he's present, he's active, he's alive. He is as real and as present as the person sitting next to you. And that God would, as you see his glory, give you a passion to know him and to know the power of his resurrection, because Christ alone has the power to satisfy your soul. Christ alone has the power to absolutely and fully satisfy your soul. And that power of the resurrected Jesus is here for you right now. I want to look together again at what Paul had said. This passage in Philippians 3 is where Paul talks about what happened to him when he met Jesus. Paul says, but whatever gain I had, whatever I considered valuable, all the things I had accomplished, all of my attainments, kind of the full resume, all of my prestige, all of my honor, all of my intelligence, all of my success, all of my things that I would have said, that's gain. That's part of what makes me who I am. That's where I find identity and meaning and satisfaction. All that was gain to me, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, as trash, as garbage, as worthless, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, not kind of having my own identity in the things I've done and the things I've accomplished and my obedience to rules and regulations and my religious adherence and all of my success, not a righteousness of my own that I have done, but I'd be found having a righteousness which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, not on his works. And here's his passion. So that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him even in his death, so that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul, this guy that you would look up to, maybe a colleague or a neighbor, or maybe the type of person you want to be, he says, everything that I had worked for, all the things I had accomplished, all the things I had done, when I met Jesus, the value of these things in comparison to the value, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, it made these things like worthless, absolutely worthless. But do you know that when Paul was pursuing those things, it didn't feel worthless? We do the same thing. We build our lives around this vision of the good life. And the vision of the good life is different for every single one of us. We have different things we value, different things we treasure, made of just who we are as people that God has made and the family and the society. But we have this vision of what we think will finally give us the joy we long for. For some people like Paul, it's like success. Man, if I could just succeed, and if I can just kind of be seen as significant and successful by my colleagues, my coworkers, my family, my friends, even if I could be seen as successful by my church friends, like religiously successful, then I'll feel good about myself. Then I'll have something that's worth joy, and I'll be satisfied in who I am. And it's never enough. More and more requires more and more and more. Maybe for some people it's just acceptance, it's love, it's appreciation. If people would just love me, if people would just accept me, if people would just appreciate me. And so we spend our lives actually sacrificing who we are as a person to become who we think people need us to be so that they'll love us and they'll accept us and they'll approve of us. And it's never enough. And so the relationships that we have, as we feel the feeble nature of our relationships, we feel like, man, it's not enough. And we find ways to move on to other things. Or maybe for some people, it's comfort, it's possessions, it's more recreation, more relaxation, more rest, a better home, a nicer home, a nicer home in a nicer neighborhood. Finally, that vacation that we can go to, right? We're going to go to the place where dreams come true, which is definitely not Disney World. It's just like, definitely not Disney World. I don't know where it is for you, but we can agree on that. But you want to go somewhere to create paradise. And we all find ourselves running. This image, kind of like a year or so ago, just this image of just a life of attempting to find joy on this mountain. Like we got to scale higher, we got to climb more. And at first it feels like, man, this is okay. A lot of people are around me and we're trying to find joy and we're not finding it. And the mountain just gets steeper and steeper and steeper and demands more and more and more. And it's never enough. And what Paul says is, freedom, joy, and life is right there at the bottom in the fountain of living water, and it is knowing Jesus Christ. You don't need to scale a mountain. You don't need to exalt yourself or exhaust yourself or strive more and more to get joy. You just need to turn to Jesus, and he's here today. You don't have to go home and do something. You just have to turn to Jesus. To say to him, Jesus, like I see, I acknowledge the things that I've been running for don't give me life. They don't satisfy. They don't deliver the things I was hoping that they would deliver. And I don't want to run to those things anymore. Will you forgive me? And would you help me to know you and to know the surpassing worth of just being inside of your love, in relationship with you, to walk with you and to know you, that this joy is right here and it's available to you, but we find ourselves kind of playing games on the mountain slope. C.S. Lewis said this, we're like half-hearted creatures. We fool about with drink and sex and ambition. When infinite joy is offered us, we're like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. Infinite joy is available to you in Christ. And he requires nothing of you. Just to turn to him. And I think on a day like today, Jesus would be crying out to you saying, come. Come, I'm right here. I've been here all along. Stop running away from me. Stop turning away from me. Come to me and experience joy. Come to me and find joy in my love. Come to me and find freedom. Come to me and find peace. Come to me and find glory. Come to me and find security. Come to me and find hope. Come to me and find everything you're trying to find as you chase this sort of rat race of life in this direction. It's not there. It's in me. Come to me for joy. Christ alone has the power to satisfy your soul. And you don't have to exhaust yourself chasing after Jesus, because Jesus exhausted himself chasing after you. You don't have to sacrifice and make endless sacrifice more and more and more to finally get Jesus to love you, because Jesus sacrificed his life to show you that he already does. You don't have to work hard to clean yourself up and atone and kind of make the past wrongs you've had, make them right before Jesus will accept you, because Jesus shed his blood, his body was broken to pay the debt for our sin. Now our debt is paid. It's paid in full through the precious blood that our Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Why? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Freedom is here. Freedom is now, and it is in Christ. And in Christ alone. And Jesus is saying to you, come to me. Come to me. And when you know Jesus, you begin to experience something very significant. You begin to experience what Paul calls in Philippians 3, the power of his resurrection. That the power that God used to raise his Son from the dead is now at work in Christ and through Christ for all who put their trust in him, to restore what has been broken by sin in our lives, to take dead things in our lives and make them whole and make them new and make them alive again. That the power of Christ is available for those who turn to him. So when you feel unloved or you feel worthless, the risen Christ gives you the power to know his unfailing love. When you feel alone or abandoned, the risen Christ gives you the power to know that he's with you and he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. When you feel shame, he gives you the power to know that you're clean. When it feels like your life is chaos, he gives you the power to know that he is with you and he is in control. He's the king of the universe and he will work all things together for your good. And when that's hard to believe and hard to hang on to, and when that's the last thing you want to hear, he's still present as one who has suffered alongside you. When you walk through suffering, he has the power to show you his presence as one who suffered like you. He's sympathetic to us in our suffering. And when you die, which is the final suffering and the loss of all the things we've worked to achieve in our life, when we finally die and everything we could have accomplished in life is finally stripped away from us, which is the last thing that many of you want to think about. When you finally die, the risen Christ has the power to raise you from the dead. And when he raises you from the dead, he brings you into his presence, and it's in his presence that there is fullness of joy and pleasure forevermore. The risen Christ, Christ alone, has the power to satisfy your soul. So my question for you is, do you know him? Let's pray. Jesus, we acknowledge in this room that there are many in this room who aren't experiencing joy. And maybe that's some who have never known the joy of walking with you. Would you cry out to them right now by the power of your Spirit and say, come home to me and find joy, find love. Everything your heart longs for, it's not found in the things you can do or accomplish on your own. It's found in me, and I'm here. I'm here. Turn to me. And maybe for those that have known you and known joy but have found themselves over the past days, weeks, months, maybe years, or even decades, that you'd say to them, son, daughter, I'm still here. I've never left you. I'm not disappointed with you. I'm not worn out. I'm right here. Come to me and find rest and joy and freedom. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I want to actually ask you to take a moment and just in your own heart, answer this question. Do I know Jesus? Like, do I know him? not to make you freak out. Knowing him isn't like the same thing for everybody, and knowing him's got to look a certain way. But do you know joy? The answer might be, I never have. Do you now, even now, say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know the surpassing worth of what it means to be in relationship with you. Or maybe you've been wandering from God for a long time. You say, Jesus, I want to come home. I want to pursue you again. Would you take a moment and consider that, and then we'll respond with worship.